Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Emig now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline as we sit here today, the day after round one, just kind of absorbing what went on yesterday with the Packers and their choice. And Paul Lemming now joining us. Paul, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, Bill. Good. How are you?
Well, I've kind of thought about last night, talked to a few people today. I don't feel much better than I did last evening. I'll say that. well, you know what? This whole thing with the shoulder has me bothered, to be perfectly honest with you. If it wasn't for a shoulder injury, I could say, okay, maybe you reached a little bit. He still had top 20 talent. But maybe you're just grabbing a guy to grab a guy or whatever. But the shoulder thing, when somebody had said to me, it's a time bomb waiting to, or a ticking bomb waiting to happen, that really bothers me, sits in the back of my mind. I do like the Savage pick. Darnell Savage, I really like that pick. Because just the more I think about 4-3 speed, you just can't teach that stuff. So I'm happy with that. But now that it's all sunk in, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, with Rashawn Gary, I think the most difficult thing for any of us, you know, fans included, anybody, to talk about is when there's a medical question. We just don't know. We don't. I mean, it's not like Dr. Pat McKenzie up in Green Bay is going to say, like, all right, so I know people have been asking, so here's the results of the scans we did on his shoulder. Here's some of my notes that I took today. That's what we just – it's the hardest thing to do. We can watch college tape. And, you know, we can do all of that, but we'll just never know the medical side. Now, you know, if he ends up having surgery after the 2019 season, which I know he kind of downplayed last night a little bit, but let's say that that was an accurate report. Okay, then he has shoulder surgery. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm not saying you want your 22-year-old, 23-year-old, you know, first-round pick, number 12 overall, to have that procedure done. But it shouldn't long-term, if the, you know, assuming the operation goes well, really hamper his career. And I hate to make a baseball analogy, but I know the big thing that people were curious about when the Brewers drafted Keston Hira was, he's going to have Tommy John. And then the Brewers said, no, we think he won't need Tommy John. We think he can, you know, get through it. And sure enough, he's the number 10 prospect in all of baseball. He's in the maybe the future Brewers second baseman, and he hasn't needed shoulder surgery, so, or Tommy John surgery in this case. So we just don't know, and that's the hardest thing. That all the pre-draft stuff can say, the shoulder, the labrum, et cetera, and we just don't know. So that's all we can really say about it. I think the other aspect is the production question in college. There's really two questions with Sean Gary. Well, maybe three. The third one I was just going to add in, it was like, well, you know, you could have had him later. That's another thing. We just don't know. Like, how do we know that he wasn't going to go 13 or 14? In fact, if you go through even your draft guide last night, they're using at our lab, he was the second best player available on the board, I believe. Because I remember when I was going through it and I was typing out the names and asking Twitter, okay, the Packers are up, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
He was the second name I typed. So it really wasn't, you know, you can question the college production. I think we can even question the labrum situation and the long-term ramifications of it. But, you know, I don't know if it was a reach. And, you know, again, too, I really applaud, well, this pick might go disastrously. He might be a Hall of Famer. Like, there's a huge wiggle room in between as well. But I like the conviction that the Packers had. There was 5 minutes left on the clock. They made their pick. They didn't let the time get close to expiring like many teams did last night. This is a guy they loved. Now, what if Devin Bush was there? What if Jonah Williams was there? What if T.J. Hockenson was there? What if Ed Oliver was there? Would they still have taken Rashawn Gary? We'll never know. You know, and by the way, we'll never know because the Packers had to go and win that game in week 16 at the Jets. They would have picked eighth last night had they not gone and done that. So FYI, that win in week 16 with Rodgers, the overtime win in New York, cost them those four spots in the draft. So we'll just never know. But I think we just have to go and assume that they got the guy that they clearly wanted. And I think there's enough evidence to say they really wanted a guy in the rep. Like, they didn't even let the clock expire. There were still 5 minutes left. they really cruised their way through. And now you just, you know, there's a couple things. You watch the shoulder, and you watch to see if, you know, what he did in college is relevant to what he's going to do in the NFL, or if the Packers said, you know what, this is a projection pick. We think he's going to be better in the pro game. He's disruptive in ways that don't show up on the stat sheet. A guy that comes to mind in that regard, and I know they play different positions, but Mike Daniels is often a guy who you look at his stats and like, really? He gets $10 million a year, and then you watch a game and you're like, oh, I get it. I get why he gets $10 million. So I think I would start there and say, none of us know how this is going to work out. There's little things we can look at, but in the long run, we all have to kind of wait and see.
So now the Savage pick, we talked about a little bit last night, and the fact that you can't teach speed. His size is obviously one of those areas where you can say, okay, maybe I'm a little bit concerned. I just like the fact that he's a hitter. I like the fact that he loves to go sideline to sideline. He likes to track down ball carriers. He's a guy that can cover a slot. He's a guy that can even be used maybe on the inside at corner if you have to, because he's got such unbelievable speed and good turn and go speed and good hip work. So that, I think, I don't want to say you hit a home run on, but certainly that is a pick that a lot of people are praising today.
Yeah, and I think what the Packers needed and what Adrian Amos needed was he needed his Eddie Jackson. The reason that a lot of people in Chicago thought Adrian Amos was so good and was able to excel was because he had a really good center fielder, a really good playmaker behind him. Now, you know, to expect a rookie to come in, even a first-round pick rookie like Savage to come in and, you know, be Eddie Jackson pre-last year, like, it's asking a lot. But skill set-wise, you look and you say, you know, Adrian Amos, I think the projection of his career and the way that we end up looking at whether the Packers was a good value contract for Amos or not is dependent on how Savage does, because, you know, you can't, you know, if you were going to put, and I'm not like trying to like downplay the you know, Raven Green or the possibility of Tremont Williams or the possibility of Josh Jackson, like who knows, but if you were to put him back there, Amos back there, and not really give him a really strong center fielder playmaker, ball hawk, you're probably setting Amos up to fail and not look like as good of a pick as he could be, because that was really what made him a threat in Chicago, was that he could really just kind of play to his strengths and not worry about anything else. So I think it's a really good complimentary move. I think the Rob Domofsky report last night that said the Colts wanted him at 26, wanted Savage at 26, makes a lot of sense, because what did the Colts do when it was their turn at 26? Trade it down because their guy wasn't there. So, again, it's another one of those conviction moves where, you know, could they have gotten Rashawn Gary four picks later? Maybe. How do you know? Could you have maybe say, you know, could you have only moved up to 25 and not 21 to get, to get Savage? Maybe. But I like the conviction that, like, this is our guy. You know, this is who we like. This is who we want. And we're going to bring him to this team. And if we overpay a little bit, if we overdraft a little bit, as long as they turn into the player we think they are, then no one's really going to care 5 years from now.
Right. The other question I had for you is, you know, we talked about the shoulder. Let's just say, though, take the shoulder out of it. Do you like the fact that they're taking a guy that goes from a hand-in-the-dirt guy to an out-stand-up guy? It's kind of like out of the old Ted Thompson mold of, let's just get an athlete and we'll just convert him into something.
So, no, I don't. But I only don't like that in the sense, in a way that I always try to caution myself not to do. I don't want past failure to indicate future decision-making. And so I think what, myself included, I kind of got, you know, you can get wrapped up in is like, isn't this the same thing they did with Nick Perry? Like, that's a really easy thing to do. And then maybe if that enters your train of thinking, your line of thinking, you don't end up making that pick. Again, none of this is to say Rashawn Gary's a bust. None of it's to say he's going to be an all-pro as a rookie. So it's a challenge. And back when the Packers did it last time with Nick Perry, and then, you know, the square peg round hole asking a defensive lineman who played his hand in the dirt to stand up, I mean, Nick Perry made, I don't know, how much money do you think Nick Perry made in his Packers career? $90 million?
Too much.
I mean, he made out pretty well. But he wasn't a bust. You know, he played seven years in Green Bay, but not exactly what you want from your first-round pick. So it's a challenge. But the regime that was here before was Dom Capers. I think Kevin Green was still the outside linebacker coach at the time, back when Nick Perry was drafted in what would it have been, 2012. You have a whole new head coach. You have a whole new everything. There's nothing is the same in 2019 as it was when Nick Perry was drafted in the first round. So do we know? No. Do the Packers know for sure? No. But I think they understand enough that they can't just throw Rashawn Gary out there at outside linebacker and say, okay, go play. Like, he's going to require some fine-tuning. And you don't take a guy like that, that high, switch him into a different type of position and not have that in the back of your mind. That's like the most important thing is in his development is really fine-tuning the skills that you obviously liked him as an athlete for.
So next question. We're talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. Next question. What do you think?
Are you Russell Westbrook?
Well, no.
Next question.
No, not in that sense, because I'm not kind of offing it. I am. What is the next? Who's the next guy you covet?
Sure. There's a good handful here. There's two things I'm really fascinated by tonight, and then I'll get into the more realistic options. Clearly, the Drew Lock thing is still out there. Let's just, you know, do the Packers really like him? Was it all a smokescreen? Could they still get him at 44? Would they be that bold? We'll see. The other thing is that Matt LaFleur loved running the ball in Tennessee. Was that a product of, you know, because his quarterback situation and Mariota was hurt? Was it a situation of, you know, just because you had who you had at running back, you can't ever say it, but it seems like Matt LaFleur understands that he needs to do with Aaron Rodgers what Sean Payton did with Drew Brees and what Bill Belichick did with Tom Brady, which is you hit the age of 35, and you better start running the ball more if you want to keep these guys healthy on the field and productive. So I am watching out for a running back at a really high spot because, you know, Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones are both, I especially like Aaron Jones, and I think they're a really good complement. But just like we say with offensive line, they're not going to – I mean, Aaron Jones especially, who has a, you know, scary injury history here that's starting to kind of turn into the injury prone, which is a big scary term. I wouldn't doubt if Matt LaFleur said, hey, you know, we did the defense thing last night. I need another running back. I need to be able to shuffle these guys in. I need to be able to do two back sets and not worry about injuries and not worry about overworking these guys. So that's a big watch out for me. Aside from, like, those two big ones, which would be very headline grabby, like if they did David Montgomery, the running back, or if they did Drew Lock, the quarterback, maybe the more realistic options tonight are obviously offensive line, something we talked a lot about, maybe tight end with Irv Smith Jr. out of Alabama, and maybe a wide receiver. You know, if Deebo Samuel is there still at 44, you know, what if Metcalf keeps sliding? But I think it's offense. I think at this point, defense, you hit it three times in free agency. You hit it twice on day one of the draft. I'm starting to think it's going to go that way. And if I could, Bill, I want to make an analogy that I think, you know, Radio Joe and any other Breaking Bad watchers and viewers will enjoy particularly. Bill, you never watched Breaking Bad, did you?
Very little. At times I did, but very little.
We'll get you there. I think, I'll reference this straight to Joe. I think what I learned about Brian Gutekunst last night and this offseason in general is he's a big Mike Ehrmantraut fan. Meaning, you don't deal in half measures, okay? He went out and he did the Darius Smith, and people said, oh, that's interesting. And then he did Preston Smith. He doubled down. Then you get to the 12th pick in the draft, and he doubled down again with Rashawn Gary. He went out and got Adrian Amos in free agency. Then he said, oh, that's pretty good. And then he doubled down and went and got, you know, the Savage kid last night from Maryland for safety. So it's like he's not dipping a toe in the water and saying, I hope this works. He's identifying positions and saying, let's just go. Like, let's really, really address this spot and dealing in whole measures and full measures and not half measures. So I really like having discovered that, I think, a little bit about Brian Gutekunst. I don't think that happened by accident. I think this is just the way that he thinks as a GM, which is don't just put one guy in the room and think you're going to change the room. You need two or three guys to really change a position. And so I think that's an interesting learning that I think we've maybe discovered about him.
All right, well, I'm going to say this about Mike Ehrmantraut. Has the man ever been wrong?
No. Well, I don't want to spoil a certain ending of the Mike Ehrmantraut, but probably only once was he maybe too trusting.
Yeah. But I like that comparison, and that makes me feel even better about it. The Mike Ehrmantraut of the Green Bay Packers. We will file that away, Paul, and we'll go back to that if it works out for Gutekunst here.
Print the T-shirts, man. Brian Gutekunst, no half measures.
There you go.
There we go.
Paul, good stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
See you guys.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emig joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.